talk about. That was a really a timeous word, because I want to talk to you about purpose tonight. That's not my sermon, but you'll understand the purpose of God tonight. But my sermon starts with a very funny title, and it's Ready, Aim, Fire. For you gun freaks, you'll enjoy it. I mean that picture. But it's Ready, Aim, Fire at your purpose. And so how was that for a word now? Ready, Aim, Fire. You know, I read something when I was in my inner room this afternoon preparing for the sermon. I just read something there, and it says, thunder is good. You see, the KPs don't know about thunder. So when we get thunder, they go, hide away. Even the Honda, you can't find them when you go. But thunder is good and is wonderful. But thunder is very impressive. But listen what they say. But it's the lightning that does the work. I remember when we used to play golf, you could hear thunder. It was wonderful. But, oh, Bart, you better get off that golf course, because where there's a noise, somewhere that little arc is going to clap here nearby you. But there's the point in that, when I thought about it, ready. Make all the noises about your faith. Ready. I'm ready. I know something about God. I've given my life to God. I'm ready. I'm ready. But aim is, you even quote scriptures. But you see, it's that fire, it's that action, it's that lightning action. It's not about being noises, about making noises. Because you see, in the years of dealing with Christians, I've learned this, and I've done this in my own life. It's listen, ready. Ready. Now, Pastor, I'm getting ready, ready. And then you get a bit better, and then it's aim. Ready, aim. 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 Aim, but there's no fire. And God wants us to be ready, He wants us to take aim, but He wants us to fire at the purpose of our lives. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? And I just thank Ian for the word he brought you here last week. Your God-ordained calling. What a good word. Because God has called us to a purpose. We have a divine calling on our lives. Ons is nie net gebou om kerk toe te kom en dan huis toe te gaan en dan volgende week kom bou ons weer verder hierso op ons geestelike lewe. No. This is only a drip in the bucket of what you really got to go and do and live out there. Amen. Christianity is not just about church, but church is very important, and you'll hear a bit about that tonight. I love what this word by W. Clement Stone said this, definiteness of purpose. Definiteness of purpose is the starting point for all achievement. Whether you're at school studying, you're in matric, you're in standard, whatever you're today, definiteness of purpose is the starting point for all achievement. If you want to achieve anything, you better have definiteness of purpose. It doesn't matter whether you're studying, whether you're at school, or whether you're at university, or wherever you are in life, whatever your career is, definiteness of purpose. But let me tell you, it works just as much when it comes to the kingdom of God. That word definiteness, I looked it up, and it means mind made up. It means desire. It means persistence. It means not vague. Ek's nie vaag oor iets wat ek gaan doen nie. No, I have a definiteness of purpose, therefore I will achieve what God had purposed for my life. I must ready, aim, and I must fire also. Amen. Are you with me tonight? So I want to share with you something that I've got triggers, and I'll call it out just now, but I want to read you a scripture. As I read it, this is what God gave me to share with the church tonight, and I believe it'll encourage you in your walk with God. Simple stuff that you need to get your mind and your heart around, and I pray the Holy Spirit will do that tonight. So I'm going to read out of Hebrews 10. And you must know the Hebrew book was written to Hebrew Christians, born-again Christians, who began to keep wanting to fall away and wanted to go and do the legal, the law stuff again. And he had to write a letter to them to get them back on track. And it's the same as us. We get saved, but we keep wanting to go and dabble in the world and ungodly stuff to fulfill our lives. Only Jesus can fulfill your life. Hebrews 10, 21 through 24. Listen to this. And having a high priest over the house of God. You see, inevitably when we read that, we would read them, we would go straight on to verse 22. But he says, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let me tell you something. Just those few words have significant meaning of great emphasis and great power. You see, we have a high priest who's over the house of God. Who's the house of God? We the house of God. We have a high priest. Let me just tell you about him a little bit. He's the one who came here as a lamb, spotless. He became the sacrifice. His body was killed and our sin was put upon him as a lamb. And this lamb went to the Father and he offered himself as a spotless lamb and God accepted him so that he became the lamb who died for the sin of the world. But he became the high priest. And if you understand the world tabernacle system on the earth, how they used to go in, they would bring the lamb in, the lamb would be slain, the high priest would wash himself and they would go in and he would kill a lamb and then he would go in behind a big curtain behind the Holy of Holies. Nobody was allowed in there except the high priest. Let me just tell you tonight, when Jesus said it is finished, that veil that prevented people from entering in tore away. You and I have access to the very throne of God tonight through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, if you don't understand that, come talk to me so I can get it into your head. Because that is a fantastic thing that happened for us. We don't fully understand and comprehend it. Let me tell you. So he says, having a high priest over the house of God. What a wonderful joy. We have a high priest who's interceding for us. Jy kan droog maak en jy gaan na jou hoëpriester toe gaan en jy hoef nie eens 'n lam saam te bring nie, want die lam is klaar geslag. You can just lay claim to what he did for you. Isn't that awesome? In the light of that, he says, number 22, verse 22, let us draw near. Say, draw near. Let us then draw near. You know, if we were standing around, I said, God, could you just, we do that with the bikers when we're going to go meet, and when we meet outside of here, and then Stanley would give that little trumpet, that little thing, and make a noise there. And come on, come, draw near. And then everybody would come out of their and they would draw near. We understand the concept. We are far off, but now we come closer. That's what that scripture means. Draw near. How do we draw near? With a true heart, not a false heart, a true heart. In full assurance of faith. We must believe what we believe to be believable. Amen. And we must live that it's believable too. We draw with a full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience. Praise the Here for that. God's Jesus' blood sprinkled us from the evil conscience. You don't have to have a bad conscience anymore because it's washed under the blood of Jesus. Every time the devil comes in to remind you, just remind him where he's going to end one day. Just say, you're on your way to hell, pal. Don't give me this rubbish. Jesus washed me in the blood. I'm not guilty anymore. Amen. What do you think of the guy when he says, Your Honor? He says, Aksinia is very so tips. He says, guilty or not guilty? He says, unguilty, Your Honor. He says, not guilty. He says, thank you, Your Honor, I'm going. But the fact is, we not guilty. Truly are not guilty. And he says, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And I'll explain that just now. Then verse 23 says, listen to what he says. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Say with me, hold fast. He says, firstly, let us draw near. And then he says, let us hold fast to the profession, that which we confess. Without how much? Wavering. We know what it means to waver. Then you're up today, then you're down tomorrow. So your geestelike lewe is oral. It's like a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways, James says. He says, hold fast to that which you've received. The day you became a Christian. Hou vas met daai goed, man. Don't waver. Wees standvastig is what he's saying over there. And then he says, without wavering. For it is, because he is faithful, he who promised is faithful. Do you know God is faithful? What he promised he's going to do. Amen. You believe that? Then he says something very powerful. He says, and then let us consider. Say consider. Let us consider who? One another. To do what? To provoke one another into love and to good deeds. There's a job for us to do. You see, the Hebrew writer here is calling the church out to get active. He's talking to us to be active. And there's a way in which we must be active. So in this scripture, he gives us three-step triggers so that we'll be armed to live. Here's the word, an on-purpose life. Ready, aim, but not just stopping by aim. It's exactly pulling the trigger. And he gives us three triggers to be able to do it. I love this German proverb. It says this, to aim is not enough. You must hit. It doesn't help to aim. Ready, aim, aim. What are you aiming at? Are you aiming at the purpose of your life? Can I tell you, definiteness of purpose, you will fulfill what God has called you to do. Ons moet aspris wees. So I'm going to get into the three triggers immediately tonight. Firstly, the first one he says, let us draw near. Say, let us draw near. Can I say, when he says that, it's a personal, intimate relationship with God. If I could translate that, I would translate it in the following, summed up in a very short sentence. Get close to God and stay close to God. Whatever you're doing in your life, get close to God. And listen, stay close to God. You know how many times I deal with people and issues and stuff? Hulle raak sommer dik vir hulle omstandighede in die lewe en die goed wat om hulle rond uit mekaar uitval. Then they sommer want to leave God in the church and alles. I've always said it, if you leave God, yeah, guess where you off to? That's just a tip. You leave God, you're going to go there and he's list for you. He is. You know, when he says that we have this high priest that we have access to, he says, take advantage of this privilege of coming before God. Julle, ons het 'n voordeel in ons lewe, kinders van die Here. And notice, it's always your move first. God has done everything he's going to do for you. God can't do anything more for you. You just got to come in line, ready, aim, fire, and do what? Draw near to God. And you see God begin to do things in your life. There's some beautiful scriptures that tell us to draw near. Listen to this. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach, or let us then draw near. Same word. Some of the translations use that. Let us then draw close to the throne of grace with confidence. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hallelujah. Where do we find it? When we draw close, church. You can't be hanging on the fringes and wanting to understand mercy and forgiveness. No, no. You need to come into the presence of God. You need to be close to God. Draw close to God. Amen. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing something? Praise God. Julle is gevrek vanaand. But anyway, on that, maybe I'm not hearing so lekker with this stuff. Oh, been resting for 2 days in bed. This is what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews 73 verse 28 says this. But as for me, and I hope this is for you because this is for me. But as for you and for me, it is good for me to do what? To draw near to God. It is good for you to draw near to God. Why? He says, I have made the Lord God my refuge and my place and placed my trust in him. Can you see what it is to draw near to God? He says, I love to draw near to God. Because why? I've made God my refuge. My plek waar ek wegsteek, waar ek wegkruip, in die Here. I've made him my place of refuge, he says. Because I trust him. Why? That I might tell of all your works. You see, when you are drawing close to God and you live close to God, your life becomes a testimony to the world around you. And people want to serve the Jesus that you serve. People want to know about him because they see it in your life. Drawing close to God. But you see, God spoke to Israel. And I'm telling you tonight, that scripture is for us for tonight. Please hear this. It's a word for us tonight as well, church. Listen to what he says. It's a warning scripture. Isaiah 29 verse 13. The Lord says, who says?
The Lord.
Right, we're happy with who says this. Better listen now, the Lord speaking, not the pastor. These people, they come too near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Can you see? There is a drawing, there is a coming to church. Ek gaan deur die geestelike goeders, maar net met my bek en my gedagtes, my mind, whatever he says over here. They draw to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. But there's no real heart. And I'm not mind made up. I ready aim, but I'm ready, but I'm not even aiming and I'm not even firing at the purpose of my life. And that's a warning that God gives to his church. Interesting, when Paul writes to the Romans church, he writes about the Israelites this word. And he says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God is for Israel. Why? That they may be saved. Because you know they didn't accept the Messiah, eh? He says, for I can testify about them. They are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. And I put it on there, if you can notice this, listen. It is possible to have zeal for God and be lost. Jy kan lekker aan die brand verkeer vir mense. Ek is lief vir die Here en jy kan al die mooi goeie sê. You see that all of the time, people wear big stickers on them. Jesus number one. I see it on the rally sites at Joel's all of the time. Jesus number one. And when you check out his behavior, you think Jesus number 9071. 324 plenty sixes. Jesus is not even on the map, but he's carrying this stuff. Can you understand what the word of God is saying? He has James 4, and it says this, these words, James 4, verse 8. He says, come close to God, draw near to God with a contrite heart. You know, that is a humble heart, ne? And then what will he do? He will come close to you. Notice who moves first. I move. Come close to God. And then what will he do? He'll come close to you. And here's the key issue. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Praise God. We need to understand. You see, we've received grace from God. And it's through grace we saved. Nothing out of ourselves. We're all happy with that. But let me just tell you, once you've received the grace freely, there is a life to be lived. And why would James have to say, if grace was going to carry me through this life and God will do all the work, why is he telling me in this scripture that I must wash my hands, my sinner, and I must purify my unfaithful heart, you double-minded people, if grace was then going to carry me through? It's such a deceptive teaching. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? Grace is free, but let me tell you something. The pipeline, the aksim was altijd, die water is gratis, maar die pipeline was dier. Die Jesus sy lewe gekos for us to drink from that fountain. Amen. I just want to touch on that scripture here in Hebrews 10 that I read. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and a full of assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And then he says this, and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, when he said this, understand, these were Hebrew people who understood the temple method of worship. And that's when he said these words to us. In other words, listen to this, the priests who served in the temple had to wash their hands and their feet before entering the holy place. Let me tell you how you and I get washed. Because we don't go to a temple, we are the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. You don't belong to yourself anymore. So what do? I wash myself in the water of what? The Word. As I believe the Word, as I begin to draw close to God, and I stay close to God, and I'm obedient to the Word, and the Word says, be obedient to this, and I do it, and I don't want to really do that, but then I say, Father, help me, and God helps me, and I begin to do, and I begin to live right. And let me tell you, every time you begin to live right, and you walk in righteousness, you washed in the water of the Word. Amen. So you can enter into your own presence and you can come to God freely and boldly to receive help in your time of need. Amen. Drawing near is to become clean, to live. And there's the word, an on-purpose life. So the first thing is, what's the first trigger? Ready, aim, fire. Fire what? Draw near to God. Say, draw near to God. Isn't that what the scripture says we must do? We have a high priest. He's gone before us. What is our part? What do we play? We draw near to God. And secondly, what is he teaching? He commanded them to do this. Say with me those words. Hold fast your profession. What does he say? Hold fast your profession. Say it again, just in case you're falling asleep here. Hold fast your profession. Hallelujah. You said it. Praise God. Hold fast your profession. You know what that means? Profession. Some translations say confession. In ander woorde, hou vast met wat jy bely, wat met jou gebeur het. Amen. I draw near to God. I come near to Him. I stay near to God. And I live with God. And then I have a confession. I have a profession. There is something that happened to my life. Jy het 'n getuienis. Amen. I always say to guys, you don't have to be a walking, knowledgeable oak about the Bible. That'll come because you keep studying the scriptures. But you've got a testimony. When you tell somebody Jesus changed your life, they cannot argue about it because you have a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, hold fast your profession. Listen to what he said. Without wavering. Without wavering. The Hebrew writer uses a similar phrase 5 times before this when he says, hold fast, hold fast. 5 times before he said it, he used it. It's like a lifeline. You know this, these round things that if you drop out into the sea, they throw one of those lifelines at you with the toki on and you hope the toki is still working and it lands there by you. And then you grab that little thing. But you see, what is he saying is hold fast to the profession of your faith. You see, many Christians hold fast when it's going well and everything's lekker. But when it's not lekker, we leave it. We want to swim by ourselves. Ek het dit nie meer nodig nie. Gooi weer. Jy het ook aan die head, jou domkop. Hold fast to your profession is what he's saying. Because you see, when he looked at the church and when he began to write this stuff, they were tempted to drift from the truth and to live a compromising life. That was what was going on. They were beginning to drift from the truth. They were allowing the world to get them down. They were giving in to the what's the use attitude. What's the use? What's the use? Thank you, Jesus. Don't you love the rain? Amen. I called out 80%, eh? I don't think God's going to let me down. I mean, dam's full, okay? Not attendance. I'm looking for 100. Isn't it amazing? Isaiah 29:13 says, you draw to me with your lips and your mouth, and you say it, but you don't live it. You know, Titus addressed this very same thing, talking about holding fast to your confession. Listen to what he says. Titus 1:16, he says, they claim to know God. He's talking about the Christians here. They claim to know God, but their actions, by their actions, they're denying Him. They're detestable. They're disobedient. They're unfit for doing anything good. What a terrible thing. I would hate that to be said about my life. Hey, hello. Hold fast to the profession of your faith, the encouragement to the church that Paul said to Timothy. Listen to these, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of the faith. You see, many times we use that statement. Hey, brothers, let's fight the good fight to the faith. And we kind of stop there. Many times we do that with Scripture. We don't read the whole Scripture. Fight the good fight of the faith. But that's not where he stops. Listen to what he says here. He says, fight the good fight of the faith. Then he says, take hold of. What is he saying? Take hold of your profession. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession. Can you see the link? To which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight when you made that profession. The Hebrew writer is saying to us in the Hebrew book, he says, hold to your profession. He says, how do I fight the good fight of the faith? Church, how do you fight the good fight of the faith? You know how you do that? You hold to the profession of your faith without wavering. Amen? Amen. That's how you fight the good fight. Not the bad fight, it's a lack of fight because you win every time. Because you're on the winner's side. Amen. Did you catch that? I want to just comment something here, because when I wrote this, I put this into the home cell needs. I need to grease the into the home cell notes for Wednesday. But I just want to open this up to you, and it's good for discussion, because this is such a, to me, it's such a powerful statement. And I wrote this because of observation of years of Christianity. And when I deal with guys on rally sites and guys come to me and they say, nee man, ek's ook 'n Christen, maar ek's nie so diep soos jy nie. And I don't know what on earth they think they're doing. But anyway, but listen to this. Your confession or your profession, call it what you want to now, of the faith that you have in Jesus is not simply letting others know that you believe. Listen, confession of your faith means that you also let others know what you believe. Because the problem is, too many people believe, But let me just say this. The moment you tell people what you believe, I tell you what, you're going to get a different reaction. Because Bible says in Timothy as well, anybody who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus, listen, will suffer persecution. Not if, will suffer persecution. You want to get persecution, tell people what you believe. Don't just tell them you believe. Oh, I'm a believer. I go to that church, the Barkers church there in Jan Brockenfell. Wat doen hulle daar? Nee, is 'n lekker kerk. Ek glo. No. Ek glo in Jesus. Ons brand vir die Jesus. Ons praat in tale daarso. Ons is lief vir die Here Jesus. Hy het my lewe verander. What do I believe? Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and he's anointed my life and I'm more than an overcomer and I'm victorious in my life. And then you begin to tell them what you believe, my friend. That's what changes people. Because too many people just believe. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, you believe. But can I ask you, what do you believe tonight? That's the question. Yes, the call of God in our lives to hold to the confession of our faith. We must continue steadfast, standfastig, and unshakable in the faith that we profess and have. Unshakable, because it's those are the things that are going to draw us closer to God. Ready, aim, fire. What do I fire at? What's the target? The purpose of my life? To hold fast to the profession of my faith. You see, many people think, I haven't found my purpose yet. You think your purpose is that you must become a pastor of a church, or you must become the children's church leader, or you must become the band leader, or you must be some missionary somewhere. No. Your purpose is to live godly in Christ Jesus, my friend. That's your purpose. When you're doing what God's called you to do, let me tell you something. The next part of your life, or the next phase of your life, or the next thing in your life to take you further in your purpose will open up to you. But so many people want this thing called purpose, but I'm so disobedient here. You'll never reach that thing. Amen? Please hear that. It's important that we know that. So, what do? We draw near to God, he says in Hebrews 10. And then he says, hold fast to the profession of your faith. Those things are really important. And now I want to talk to us about a thing that I really believe. We need to pay close attention to this, because I don't want you to miss this. And the reason I say don't miss this is because not only is it written in line of what he's just said. So first he addresses your issue with you and God. Amen? What do? We draw near to God. Who's that got to do with? Me and God. Okay? Holding fast to my profession has got to do with who? Me and God. Now he says something really interesting. Listen to this. Thirdly, he says to the word consider. Can you remember that? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Can I say, if you're not drawing close to God and you're not holding fast to the profession of your faith, you're not going to get this right. Oh, if there's a weak place in the church, it's what I'm talking about now. How we treat one another is disgraceful, church. I'm talking about the whole church of Jesus Christ. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. That word. You see, that word spur, that word has a sharp, pokey edge to it. It's like a prodding. That's what that word means. It was interesting when I looked up the word in on Google, a prodder, a cattle prodder. And it was interesting, all these, I was going to show you a clip on that, but I couldn't. Yes, I'll flook all these beasties be over the eyebrows. I don't blame them, I suppose, when you get shocked with that thing. I tell you, it tops you down on the ground. It's like a taser, but it's not as powerful. But they all flooked, so I couldn't. They were funny, I mean, it's crazy, but yes, the oak, when he gets up there, he swears. So I couldn't show it, but this oak's got this, he's at this milkery, and there's this cow, and they sleep during the night, they lie down, these old kuya, and then he comes and he shakes them, and they all get up, but there's like one or two that just lie there all day, you know, some like Christians, come on, and he just lies there, chowing out, checking the oak out, and that pulls him, then he goes and gets a prodder, and he still checks him out when he touches him with a prodder. It's amazing what happens. He somehow willingly gives milk. Well, not exactly, but it's my mind. But see, that's what the word is saying to us that we need to do. We need to prod one another. And I'm not talking about coming in somebody's life and shocking them. What I want to say, shock them with your obedience. Amen. Shock them with your obedience. It's a word that calls every child of God to live very specific. How? With other believers. That's what the word is teaching us. How we live with other believers. The Hebrew writes us, stir up love and good deeds. Poke, prod one another to what? To love and good deeds. When you see somebody acting in a loveless way, promote, get him back to talk nice stuff. Amen. When you hear a gossiping, don't make your ears then asblik. Say, hey, broer, gaan praat met die ou. Let me tell you what cures gossip. When I come to tell you about somebody else, say, nah, 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 problem. Hallo, Frikkie. Luister net, ek wil net gou iets uitvind. Jannie sê, Frikkie, dat jy blablabla. Hy dit nou net, is dit waar, Frikkie? You check, you look for Jannie, he's gone. The shortest way to kill it. You see, we don't seem to learn this lesson as a church. You know, God tells us to love one another, that we must care for one another, that we must be considerate, that we must provoke one another into love and into good deeds. But we don't do that. We break one another down. I've always seen it, you know, and I've said it before of this pulpit, that we go to the motorbike rallies and stuff like that, and we see the same oak year after year, and please God save some of these oaks. And you talk to them about Jesus, and he's, yes man, the oak's been gooing a pipe and a ander ding and a ander ding and a rum and coke and a garlic pizza, and then he talks to me, you know what I mean? And you rally after rally, I'm saying, en het nou weer aan 'n paar slim dinge bygevoeg van ons laaste gesprek, jy weet. En hy gooi, and I'm so tolerant. And when he comes next week, I'll say, listen man, gaan borsel jou tanden voor hy met my kom praat nie. But we're like tolerant, you know what I'm saying? But just let your brother or your sister come and say something to you. Jy gaan skinder somme van die persoon. We're intolerant of one another, but we're so tolerant of the unsaved. But listen to me. This is what Jesus said, John 13, verse 35. He says, By this all men shall know that you are my disciples. How? Because you have love for one another. You have love for one another. Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God. I don't want you to miss it. Ready, aim, fire. What are you firing on? What is the purpose of your life? My purpose is to prod others on to good works and to love. Amen. I love this. Paul writes this to the Philippian church. I use this in marriages sometime, but it's so relevant to this one I'm saying to you. Listen to what he says here. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, kyk, jou vraag is so met sy tong en sy kies. Hey, did you get any encouragement out of receiving Christ, man? This is now the attitude van die brief. You know that when I actually... Did you get any, check the eyes, encouragement? You know, in other words, what the devil gaan aan met jou? You know, that's the kind of question, yeah. Have you ever received any encouragement from being united with Christ? If any comfort from his love, man. If any fellowship in the Spirit. If any tenderness and compassion. He says, then make my joy complete. How? By being like-minded for heaven's sake. For the same love being one in the Spirit and one in? Purpose. He says, ek kan nie verstaan wat gaan nie. Julle sê julle het iets uit die Here gekry. Julle sê julle die Here lief, but come on, make my joy full, man. Love one another now, man. Stop this nonsense, is what he's saying. You all with me tonight? I know the other churches must get the CD, not our church. Do nothing, say nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. We are so comfortable in our comfort. If I've got to just stretch myself out and be kind to somebody and just go and provoke somebody to love and deeds, just to do that extra little mile. Nee. It's my currency. Ek het a picket fence hier om my. Ons lewe, jylle moet nie hier intrap nie. Dan trap jy op 'n landmyn. And that's not godly. That's not biblical, church. 1 Peter 2:22 says it. He says, now that you have purified yourselves, julle het kinders van die Here geword. He says, by doing what? By obeying the truth, so that you may have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. Hallelujah. Can you see how important it is? Can I just link them? Because if I am not drawing near to God, drawing close to God and staying close to God, and I'm not living in the confession of my faith without wavering, it's going to be very difficult to consider others. Amen? And can I tell you why we don't consider the others? Because we're not getting the other two right. Amen, church? Hallelujah. So now I should end the sermon there, but I can't. Because there's a verse 25. And verse 25 says the following. Let us not give up meeting together as some of you have the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming. Encourage one another. Provoke one another into love and good deeds. Encourage one another. Build one another. Speak into one another's life. Speak life, not death. Speak positive, not negative. Do not gossip and bring death over people. Speak life over the people, is what he's saying here. Can I say, that is why it's important not to miss going to church and home cells. Ayna. Julle sit hier so, klomp van julle, julle gaan nie huis selle toe nie, ne? Jy wil wonder hoekom jy nie geestig groei nie. Ek gaan 'n water drink terwyl ek oor daai gedagtetjie besin. It's a fact of life. How do you draw near to God with your fellow brothers and sisters? Amen. These are great places for encouragement, is it not? Giving special attention to our brothers and sisters. Listen, to their circumstances, to their trials, to their temptations, to their weaknesses, and to their needs. That's where we need to be with one another. Listen, a couple of things. We need to fire each other up. We need to prod one another. We need to promote genuine love to one another. We need to take up our common responsibility. How? By setting a godly example. Amen. We need to be loving and serving and giving and caring, church. Oh, may this word not fall on deaf ears today. May we from this night when you walk out here, may you receive more than what you came into this place. May there be a heart attitude. May there be a shift in your spiritual atmosphere in your life. Hallelujah. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Can I say this? These three triggers must be implemented because they affect the quality of a person's relationship with God. You see, therein lies the biggest problem. It's about Jesus and me. It's not about you and me. If I'm having a fraught relationship here, ek gee jou 'n brief vanaand. En ek sal groot rente trek van daai briefie. Ek kan jou dit sê, jou verhouding met God is nie reg nie. Dit was vir die Afrikaanse mense, gaan dit nie in Engels sê nie. And I just want to sum it up like this. We understand that we cannot do it without the help and power of the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in us, church. You see, our responsibilities are interwoven. When you drop the ball on one of them, you'll probably be dropping the ball on all of them. Drawing near to God, holding fast to your confession, and considering others. You drop the ball on one of them. I can tell you tonight, you're not going to be good in one of those areas of your life. Three things that I'm going to close. Number one, we need to keep the faith. In our own individual lives, we need to be walking close to Jesus, drawing close to God. We need to be hold on to the profession of our faith. And then secondly, corporately, from what I pick up from this word, we need to keep meeting together regularly. Nisus patay para. There's oaks that should be here tonight. And if you're listening to the CD tonight, where were you? Could everybody that's here tonight just please give the others a hand that not here? That is for you who are not here tonight. Thirdly, We must watch out for those who need their faith strengthened. We need to watch their obedience, that it gets made complete. But you can't have somebody else's obedience to be complete if your obedience is not complete. Amen? Then you need to watch their love made perfect. And then lastly, their good works need to increase. You know what that's called? Discipleship. Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them everything I have taught you. See, people are not being taught. It's not only your pastor that must teach you. Please listen to me. You have so many people around you. Start studying the word so you can teach people. Not arrogantly, but out of love. Out of concern for another oak's relationship with God, because the Bible says we must do that. And I close with this, so that we will stand before Jesus one day and hear him say these words. What are those words?
Well done.
Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. May that be the word that you will hear one day for Jesus. Why? Because you didn't just aim. Maybe some of you are still aiming tonight. Hey, listen, pull the trigger and fire at your purpose, man. Draw near to God. You haven't been drawing near to God lately. Draw near to God. You know why you lose your first love? Why Jesus says to the church of I think it was Philadelphia, he says, I have this against you. You've left your first love. The love for you had me at first. You've left it. Why? Because you're not drawing close to me. Draw close to God so that he can draw close to you. Tonight, come let us bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your word encourages us. Sometimes it corrects us. But we thank you for whatever it is, for every person attending here tonight. I would just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen every heart, every life, every hearer. You know, I can't share a word like this without making a call to you tonight. To say, Lord, I'm guilty. I haven't been drawing close to you, Lord. And I haven't been holding on to the profession of my faith without wavering. I've been wavering lately. And Lord, I've not been considering my brothers and sisters. Help me, Lord. If you want to ask God to help you tonight, I believe in a special impartation that God will do for you tonight. You need to be sincere and honest. And I want you to stand before God and say, Lord, here I am. I stand now. You can stand right now. You're not standing for me. You're standing before God tonight. You're saying, Lord Jesus, here I am. Lord, see me tonight. I humble myself before you. Humble yourself. Say it to God tonight as you stand. Say, God, I want to humble myself before you. Cleanse me. Forgive me. So important that we live a life of repentance. That was a wonderful day when you repented and you gave your life to Jesus. But we must live a life of repentance every day. Say, God, forgive me. Because we make druch every day. And maybe in this place. Is there anybody else that needs to stand? We're not looking at one another. We're here to spur you on to love and better works. So God will use you. I want to pray right now. Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy Spirit, would you come and descend upon every life that is standing before you, Lord? Every life that has said, here I am, Father, see me. God's already seen you. God already knows what's going on in your heart and your life. But because you make that confession, God loves it when we repent. God loves it when we come and we humble ourselves. It makes the heart of God pleased, because you are now enabling God to do something unique in your life. But not only are you allowing God to do something unique in your life, you are now cutting off the supply that Satan has had to come and destroy your life. And so tonight, Father, I thank you for what the enemy has meant for harm, to keep people busy with the things of this world, and that they haven't been drawing closer to you, Lord. and that they haven't been holding fast to the confession of their faith, or maybe even not considering one another. So tonight, Lord, I pray not for only ready, not for aim, that you set the sights for every life here, but you give them clarity of target, their purpose. And tonight, Father, they commit themselves to fire in Jesus' name, that they will hit that which is the purpose that you have called them for tonight, Lord. To live a life that brings honor to Jesus. That your greatest desire for our lives is that we will become more like Jesus. That these people, Father, will experience a fresh anointing. That you will not only fill their cup, Lord, tonight, but make it full and running over. So many can be blessed because of the blessing that they are in your kingdom tonight. That Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe God did something in your heart tonight? Amen. Praise God.
I just want to ask this question: if there's somebody here tonight that has never, you know, I've spoken about belief, a lot of people believe that.